Today on This Week in Pop, we still haven't figured that out. Is it This Week in Pop?
Or Poppin' This Week?
Poppin' This Week on the Pops. We finally saw some movies.
Although not the one I wanted you to see.
Well, it didn't look that interesting.
Ready Player One, yeah. Rampage.
Also, lots of TV to talk about. Lots of new shows and shows you should be watching. And Jenna? Jenna's not here. You can turn off the podcast
classic
now.
Classic Jenna.
Just a bunch of men talking. That's This Week in Pop.
Do we have a theme song?
No.
Can I make it?
Sure.
Nobody's on the run. Nobody's watching movies.
All right. That's the unofficial new This Week in Pop theme song.
I don't even know if I can use that song.
I don't know. Did you clear the rights yet?
No.
Did you write it?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay. I'm Tommy West.
Hey, Maxwell.
Hi, welcome. Jenna? Oh.
God damn it.
She has laryngitis.
Seriously, this is our third show back?
It's our third show. Wait. So we
can't even get her to stay.
We did two shows. We took a week off and we came back and then she didn't show back
up.
Oh
man. Yeah. Next week she'll be here.
Yes.
She's too pumped up for Avengers.
Yes.
She had to take a couple of days off.
Yes. Well, we'll get into that sort of, cause I want to talk about something I saw about event. I am very far behind in the world of Marvel. And I want to talk about
as long as there are no spoilers. No spoilers.
Well, how can there be spoilers? As we're recording this,
people have seen it. It's out.
You know, you're right. I have seen some spoilers.
Yeah.
Or potential spoilers.
We won't talk about that.
No. I don't want to talk about
spoiler alert. There are no spoilers.
Yes, but I think on the next episode
we can talk about it. That's fine.
That's fair game.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of TV I want to talk about. Lots of TV stuff. Westworld is back. We talked about that
a
little while ago on a previous episode.
And my unwillingness to watch it.
You won't watch it now?
No.
Oh God, we'll get into that. But you know what? Let's go back for a second. Let's actually talk about the Avengers because it's coming out this week.
Yes.
The week of this podcast.
It's going to be big.
It is This Week in Pop.
This Week in Pop.
Hence that's the title of this podcast.
I like what you did.
I don't know if you knew that.
It was good.
So I had previously not seen, I saw Iron Man, the original.
Okay. 10 years ago.
Yeah. I think I saw Iron Man 2. Which one was that?
The second one.
Right. But what happened in it?
It was the Russian guy. Iron Man has War Machine comes out. Don Cheadle replaces Terrence Howard as War Machine. Rockwell is...
So the one with Sam Rockwell where he's like being Sam Rockwell.
Being Sam Rockwell. Yeah. They introduced Black Widow in that movie. Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Which is the one where the guy with the whips and they... And
that
they,
is Iron
that's
Man
That's that one. Okay.
Yeah. Mickey Rourke. Doing Mickey Rourke things.
So I think maybe I missed Iron Man 3.
Which I learned that it didn't get as much love as I thought it did. I loved that movie. That Shane Black directed it, who, if you've seen Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
I like that movie.
He's a funny guy. The Nice Guys with Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe.
I have yet to see that. It's on my list of, I keep seeing clips of it. And I want to watch it.
It's razor sharp script. It's like the perfect combination of Robert Downey Jr., you know, re-teaming with Shane Black after Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Apparently, it doesn't get as much love as I thought it did. I loved it. I really did. Guy Pearce is an okay bad guy.
Okay.
Ben Kingsley is serviceable. This is brought up to my issue last time, how it's hard to be creative when you're spinning the same yarn for every movie. I mean, there's over 20 Marvel movies out now over the span of 10 years, and it's hard to make each one different. And I liked the bad guy reveal in Iron Man 3, which if you don't know by now, it was supposed to be Ben Kingsley as the main terrorist. And it turned out that he was just a paid actor and it was very slapsticky. It was a very slapsticky reveal. And I liked that. Sorry for the
crisscross.
They crisscrossed it.
Yeah.
And I liked that sort of turn. And apparently a lot of people didn't. But, you know, it's hard to do things differently every time.
And I think I saw the first. All right. This is very odd. I saw the first Captain America in a hospital.
Why?
A hospital. Because my wife gave birth to my son, I think.
But you had to watch the movie.
But I was like, well, we were there for a couple days. So I was like,
Sweetie, it's your son. Yeah.
I'm in the middle of this. So I saw most of that plot.
Okay.
Because you can't really pay attention in the hospital.
But you haven't rewatched it?
No.
Is there something wrong with me that I've seen each of these movies maybe 5 or 6 times?
No, because I feel the opposite. I feel the fact that I haven't seen them. I feel like I'm behind and out of the loop because I have my tickets. So I'm going to go see the movie this weekend, but I just for the first time saw Civil War, which is why I wanted to talk about this. I saw Captain America Civil War for the first time just the other day.
That's madness. How this is like, how can we have a podcast? We talk about pop when you're not up to date on your pop.
Well, I'm getting up to date now. It wasn't on Netflix. I didn't subscribe to it. I didn't want to spend, I'm a frugal podcast host
with our dollars.
Yes. Which, by the way, I'm late to the party. The CG was bad, right? Was that discussed previously?
There wasn't a ton of CG in it. I mean, there was the climactic airport fight. But
yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Well, like, Spider-Man is rubber.
Yeah, but at the time, I mean, it was cool. People just cared about seeing Spider-Man in a Marvel movie for the first time. That's what it was about.
Was it? Oh, yeah, that's right. Because that was the first, when they first got back the rights.
Yeah.
Okay.
After the horrible, Amazing Spider-Man movies.
Yeah. But I also, and being late to the party gives me a sort of fresh perspective going into this now. But
I'm jealous.
But I will say, the thing that, last week we talked about the Justice League and DC stuff, and there was a lot wrong, obviously, with Batman versus Superman years ago. I feel like in Civil War, the whole thing with Robert Downey Jr.'s character, Iron Man. I remember Robert Downey Jr. I don't remember Iron Man's name. It's all about his mommy.
His parents.
Right. He gets upset. You killed my mommy. And then like in Batman versus Superman, it's like, you said my mommy's name and I'm upset. And
yeah. But
my mommy.
The main difference is the mommy in Civil War was a buildup after 12 movies. And
yeah,
in
okay.
Batman versus Superman, they just put it out there in the first one.
Yeah.
I have no sympathy. I don't care about Batman's mom, but I cared about Iron Man's mom.
Okay.
Superman's mom. Sorry. Right. My initial argument.
Okay. No, I get that. I think my point was, it's like, it's just the same thing, or and it wasn't even that believable to an extent
in Civil War.
Yeah,
that's the comic books. That's what they do.
No, I know, but I'm saying this entire Marvel universe has essentially been building up to the movie that we're about to see this coming weekend.
Yes, this is like the end of a phase.
Yeah,
entering phase, I believe, 4 is what we're going to.
Jesus. And we've been building up to this, and Civil War was to service as a prequel, as a setup for this coming movie.
In a way, yes. I think the plot of Infinity War is that it takes place, I believe, 3 years after Civil War.
Right.
The Avengers have broken up. Everyone is on different locations.
Yeah.
Iron Man is not with Captain America. They are considered still fugitives to the U.S., so they're on the run, so to speak.
Man on the run!
So everyone's in different worlds, and this is sort of going to be the culmination of this massive guy, this Armageddon-type guy, Thanos, who is just going to come and ruin everything.
Mm. Yeah, no, and I'm cool with that.
Okay.
And I get that, and I'm happy about that.
So what you're telling me is you're going to go see Infinity War in, like, 4 years.
I have tickets for this weekend. I'm going to go.
Okay.
No, but I guess my point is, if you're going to set it up, and then the movie Civil War was a sort of service to set up that movie, I feel like they probably should have put a little bit more effort into making it believable.
I don't know where this is coming from. I feel like you needed to say you were going to talk about this before we started the podcast, because I disagree 100%.
But we're allowed to disagree. That's
all we do is disagree. Because you're always wrong and I am always right.
That's not true. But okay. But I mean, I guess my point is, the movies have to walk a fine line anyway, because they have to be, you know, Civil War is dark in certain parts.
Sure.
But at the same time, it's also like, Captain America, get your action figure now. And it has to be that thing that little kids can watch also, and it has to be relatable on multiple levels.
Yeah, but they also need to, you know, set the stage for what it's going to be moving forward. And it's not all going to be roses and dandelions.
Yeah.
It's going to be issues. And this is the problem. This was the fundamental difference between what they wanted the Avengers to be and how they were going to act moving forward. And this is where we are because of it. And no matter where they are, Thanos doesn't give a shit because he's coming.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll leave it there. I'll let you have it.
Thank you.
So on the next episode, we'll be able to actually talk about that, which will be exciting.
Yes. Are we going to go together?
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Okay. Fine.
Anyway, TV is back.
Yeah.
The television.
Well, I mean, it's always been around. Yeah,
just follow me. Westworld came back, which, I love the show. And I like where it's going, which, by the way, on one of the last episodes, we should also have a segment part of our show where we correct all the incorrect things I've said. On one of our last podcasts, I mentioned how Jonathan Nolan,
yeah,
was
brother of Christopher.
Yes, was on Reddit and said like, "Hey, if this gets enough upvotes, I'll go ahead and like reveal this thing." And it was more of a haha gotcha type thing. Mm-hmm. I fell for it.
You did.
I did.
Yeah, didn't I tell you it was a bit ridiculous at the time?
It was ridiculous.
Is this another situation where I'm right and you're wrong?
News organizations that reported on it, so I'm not alone here.
TMZ, Gawker, Perez Hilton.
Yes, Gawker came back to life just to report.
Just for this one thing.
Just for that one thing. But no, the show is, I think the show is fantastic. I think it's, there's not a lot of shows that can do what Westworld is doing.
What are they doing?
They're messing with your head.
Okay.
It's something that you walk away from every episode. I'm not breaking new ground here by saying this. It's a show that every single episode you walk away and like for me, I end up going on Reddit to try to figure out what the hell I just watched for some things. I'm like, what was that goo that he was like doing with the thingy? And then I have to go figure out and have people explain to me something I missed early on and didn't understand earlier in the episode.
Has it changed from the Western world brothel scenes that happened every 20 minutes?
Well, I think the thing is, what makes this really interesting, number one, who is the main character again in the show?
Evan Rachel Wood.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. The guy who created the actor.
Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins is not in the credits at all. So okay. I think he's officially done with the show, which okay. I think is also okay. Because now we've also moved. Essentially, the way the first episode of the second season comes back, and I'm a little spoilers here, I guess, but I won't spoil too much because I know you haven't seen it. And I won't really spoil.
You can spoil for me. I'm not going to watch it.
I guess the point is, the first season is this weird ride of understanding what this place is mm-hmm. and seeing it for what it is and how it works and seeing it slowly get infiltrated and slowly fall apart. And by the end of the season, he gets shot in the head and it's all over and chaos breaks out. Mm-hmm. Now in season two, it's full chaos. So it's kind of like where season one is watching an amusement park and how all the rides and people are coming and riding them. Season two is watching what happens when a hurricane hits the theme park. And now all of a sudden people are running around screaming and trying to get the hell out of the theme park.
Are we getting other parks? I remember they teased the Samurai World.
They're still teasing it. It hasn't come up in episode one yet. I believe by episode two we'll be there.
Okay.
But the thing is, it had a lot to live up to because it's this show that is kind of mind bending and twisting, and everything everyone says and does has some type of meaning. Jonathan Nolan takes no pauses in writing the script and like giving someone like they flip on the light switch. Why did they flip on the light switch? There's a reason for it. Mm-hmm. I was reading, there was a part in the episode where Bernard grabs a door handle and people are still talking about, why did he grab the door handle? What did the door handle mean? And I like that. And there's not a lot of shows on TV that, like, since Lost, that engage the community offline and make them think about what they watched and what's happening and where is this going and this sort of puzzle. The show is all about a puzzle, and the show itself is a puzzle.
But see, what I'm afraid of is that we're not going to get the final piece of the puzzle of this show.
What do you mean?
Because like with Lost, like with other shows like that, like The Leftovers, they somehow stop talking about the why of it and they just talk about the philosophical how yeah. and the more of the human study, which is fine. A lot of shows do that. I get it. Yeah. And it's good to that element, but I'm the kind of guy who wants to know why.
Yeah.
Like in The Leftovers, I don't care what they're doing. I want to know why they yeah. left, and we don't get to find that out.
Yeah. But I think for what it's worth, I'll give him some credit. I think Jonathan Nolan wouldn't leave the audience hanging.
And so they give you enough, like are they giving you enough to like wonder more about the park and wonder more about other things that are out there? Or is it just more focused on the people, which is fine. I don't really know yeah. where it's going to go.
I'll say this. There's a lot of scenes of Evan Rachel Wood's character in previews and trailers, because I keep seeing a bunch outside the park in a city. So
in the real city, Westworld city,
not in a Westworld series, in a city. So she makes it out of the park somehow. She okay. makes it into the real world. They're also doing this weird time bending thing again, which is interesting, but it's almost like I don't trust it because you almost expect it.
Yeah.
The whole, you know, man, the black hat thing from the first season and that revelation of like, you're actually watching two different timelines. Mm-hmm. You're conscious up front of, okay, they bend time here.
Right.
Are we looking at the future or the past? And, but I think the fact that they have to expect the audience is looking for that, that they're going to, there's going to be another twist somewhere. And so your mind immediately goes to, what is the twist going to be this season? And so the episode starts out and Bernard is apparently 3 weeks in the future ahead of the rest of the people in the episode when it's jumping back and forth between characters and you don't know what's happening. Mm-hmm. And it's good because it gives you a little bit of intrigue into what's happening and where is this going. And at the same time, it's enough to keep you hanging on, but not so little that you are frustrated watching the show.
Okay. I'm going to give myself a homework assignment, even though you didn't do my homework.
Did.
You saw Rampage?
No, not that.
That's
homework.
That's the one thing I gave you to do. You didn't do it.
Well, Jenna didn't see it either.
She's not even here. She has an excuse that's also bad. But I will watch Westworld this week. Okay. I'll catch up. I saw part of episodes. The first season. I'll watch the next two and I'll let you know if I still agree or disagree.
I watched another HBO show as well.
Barry,
which apparently we have very different opinions on.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let me set it up for those who don't know.
Okay,
because it's not a show that everyone is talking about, but from the people that I've talked to that are watching it, they all agree with me. And it's also been set up for a second season already. So if you want to invest time, don't worry that you can invest time. And although HBO has pulled the plug on shows they've given a second season to before it got to the second season.
Yeah, but so, it's safe to assume this one will be back.
I think. Yeah. And but the basic premise of the show is Barry is
Bill Hader.
Bill Hader is a I almost said serial killer. He's not a serial killer.
No,
he's a hitman. He's a war vet hitman and he's sort of dull. He's just a dull dude who's really good at killing people and sort of has nothing else going on in his life. He just has no meaning. And then he goes to put a hit on, he's hired to do a hit on a guy who he has to end up like following, and he follows him into an acting class in LA, and he gets kind of pulled into doing a scene on a stage and his eyes light up and suddenly he's like, I felt something on the stage and I want to be an actor. I want to follow this feeling. And that's the juxtaposition of the show is that someone, there's a lot of comparisons to Dexter,
mm-hmm.
someone who kills in on one side of his life and then tries to keep these separate elements of his life apart. It's done in a very dark humor way where, and I've seen some comparisons to Community also, where it's kind of like, there's like this class where it's like a bunch of people who are in a class together and, you know, mingling. There are some good characters in the show. I like it. There's a lot of humor. There's a lot of dark humor in the show. But more importantly, you know, I think we mentioned on one of the last episodes, I think Jenna said it, which is I think we all like Bill Hader and we want to see him in something that is fitting and something that he can succeed in. He's a dude who can kind of bend his face. It was one of the reasons why he was fantastic on Saturday Night Live and he would make these characters or play these characters. And watching him in this, it's just fun because he, again, bends his face to just being very plain and very, very boring. And then when you see his face light up or when he goes into like full on hitman mode and becomes like this, you know, intense, like running around like a SWAT team member, like it's cool. And he's likable. And that's really the draw of the show for me is the characters. I don't even care what road they go down. And it's an Alec Berg HBO series, which this dude has a formula for HBO. I mean, mm-hmm. Every single one of these shows has a formula the way it's written. It's almost annoying me at this point.
I watched the first three. I loved the pilot. I thought it was great. Just to me, the stakes never really got anywhere. And this could be a testament to, the more I think about it, Bill Hader's character, because in all the situations he's put in, like even when he's tied up and his handler is being tortured in to me, one of the worst ways imaginable, because I hate even looking at a nail file.
Oh my God.
And to see or even think about what they did, I had to leave the room. But he never really shows any emotion. He doesn't really care what's happening. And the more I think about it, the more it's just because that's who the person, I'd like to think that's who the character to him is someone who just doesn't really have emotion.
Right.
And the reason why he enjoys the acting process is because he's allowed to sort of fake it.
Yeah.
He's allowed to find emotion through something else that's not his own personal manifestation.
Well, they do explore that eventually. I think we're about five or six episodes in.
Oh, really?
I think it's six now. So you're about three in.
Okay.
But they eventually start exploring how he has this sort of muted emotion inside of him. You know, he doesn't express his emotion, doesn't stand up for himself ever. He just does what people say. And there was a scene, and I won't ruin it, but there was a scene where I feel like it missed an opportunity to explore that a little bit further in an interaction with someone. But at the end of the day, yeah, I mean, to your point, there's some scenes where they're told, like, go do this thing or we're going to kill your handler. And that he apparently does care about, because it's the only person he has in his life, really. And then he's like, okay, I'll go do it. And then ends up like sneaking off to go to an acting class instead, because that's the thing that makes him feel good. And he'll get around to the killing thing. But yeah, I mean, Steven Root, who plays the handler,
is great.
I mean, I love him in anything he does. He's just, you know, he's Steven Root. He's hilarious.
And of course, the Fonz.
Henry Winkler
steals it.
There are some later scenes with him that he ends up like, because at first he's sort of playing a one note character where he's just like this kind of sleazy acting teacher and you're not really sure what to think. And he is good, but he isn't good at the same time and what he does. And then there's some scenes that just go off the rails later that give you insight into this guy's personality. And I love it. I mean, Henry Winkler, he's just a nice dude in general and in person, if anyone has ever met him, but he's also just a really fantastic in this show.
I'm just not sold on the lead girl.
Yes.
Sarah Goldberg's her name.
Yeah. It's really funny. At first from the previews, I thought it was Nikki Glaser.
It looks a little like her. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, cool. Nikki Glaser. But she's not Nikki Glaser.
Yeah.
And yeah, but, and there's things that it dives into eventually about, you know, LA life, and it's funny. There's a throwaway line somewhere where they're doing these acting scenes in a theater class in a theater, and he's like, oh, they did a scene from Pulp Fiction and the scene from True Romance. He's like, isn't that movies? He's like, yeah, it's LA, so the theater is movies.
Right.
And it's great in that kind of dark humor way. It explores the superficiality of actors or wannabe actors or people who move to LA to become successful. And in a funny way, I mean, we talking about Alec Berg, you know, he was the guy who also did Entourage, and that show sort of could have been a really good parody of what it is to be in LA life and that acting career and that Hollywood scene. Instead, it kind of did it too on the nose, and it was essentially
became what it was.
Yeah. But this show, I feel like has the opportunity to do sort of what Silicon Valley did for Silicon Valley, which is parody the thing it's talking about. And like the things that people say and the things that people do are very much turning a mirror to the way people act in Hollywood. And I think that's fun. And I think as the more they explore that over on top of the entire plot around a hitman who wants to be an actor. Yeah. I mean, I think there's some room to explore with the show, and I'm hopeful for it. I'm actually happy that it got a second season already.
All right. So there's another homework for me. I'm going to watch the rest of Barry. I'm going to watch Westworld.
Yeah.
I still want you to watch Rampage. I'm very upset that you did not watch it.
We'll see what happens.
I gave you one thing to do.
No, you gave me two things to do.
What was the second thing?
To watch Mulaney.
Oh, did you do that? You didn't do that either.
No. Here's the thing. John Mulaney hosted SNL.
Yeah.
The 2 weeks ago. So it was one after our first episode. I watched it, or I tried to.
I thought you liked John Mulaney. When did this turn take place?
What do you mean? What turn?
Like you turned you not liking John Mulaney anymore.
I never liked John Mulaney.
God.
No, it's so John Mulaney's stand up. He did a stand up at the beginning of the episode in the beginning,
as most comedians do.
And it was, did you see it?
Yes.
Did you think it was good?
Yes.
It wasn't good.
Ugh.
I don't know. I don't know. Watch it again.
Watch it like three or four more times. I just want to know.
No.
I'm going to stand behind you and watch it as you watch it.
I don't know what it is.
And if you blink, I'm going to open your eyes.
You know, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about John Mulaney. I don't want to harp on him too long because this is turning into the John Mulaney podcast, but I don't know.
Fine.
I can't Fine. Get around it.
Then we're not going to talk about it anymore because I don't want to talk negatively about John Mulaney. It's upsetting me.
I'll have to wait for Jenna to come back because I need someone to help agree with
me. She's not here. Jenna, what do you think? All right. Cool.
Just like a woman should respond.
Then I am going to talk about Rampage because I saw it.
Oh.
And we're going to talk about it for like 5 minutes.
What was it about?
About Rampage, about Carnage. It was pretty violent. There were a lot of There's a lot of blood, a lot of deaths.
Really?
For, I think a PG-13 movie.
I was going to say, was it PG-13?
It was, but it was like a hard PG-13. Like, I wasn't, like, there were kids, and there was, like, at least 4 or 5, like, full-on bodies crushing with blood going everywhere.
Was it CG or real bodies?
I would hope it's CG.
How do you know they made
it
rent the bodies?
They didn't do that. They didn't get cadavers. Brad Peyton, the director, seems to be having a fine little team up with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Mm. He did Journey to the Center of the Earth 2. He did San Andreas. A lot of these, you know, big set pieces, little plot. Who really cares? Let's just watch people do stuff.
I like that. Big set pieces, little plot.
Yeah, that's what it was. You know, the CGI was actually pretty good for what I thought it was. There was pretty good emotion coming from the giant ape that The Rock befriends and apparently grows up to this massive size. If you don't know the plot, it's very, very, very loosely based on the old game, a video game called Rampage. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is a animal scientist, if you can believe that.
Yeah.
He signs with this ape who's his friend, who was a runaway. And then this space science experiment goes wrong and the stuff crashes to the earth and, you know, these animals, unlucky animals, find this gas, this green gas, and they get big and they destroy things. And it's just great. Sofia Vergara's husband's in it.
Sofia Vergara.
Jack Lacey, who was Plop in The Office, plays an executive, if you can believe that. And it was interesting. I mean, if you're into movies that have literally nothing to do with anything, go see it.
There was a point in the 90s where there was a lot of movies like that, where they made it through. A lot of Armageddons and stuff
The
like
Rock.
That. Yeah, and before it was just sort of, that's what movies were.
Yeah.
In the 90s, it's just like the big set pieces, little plot, as I'll steal your phrase. Now they stand out as being almost purposely tongue-in-cheek, though. Like, hey, look at what we're making. We're making a big, doesn't make any sense, like, The Rock is a scientist. Like, we know how ridiculous that is.
Oh, yeah. They've been trying less and less every single day. They're just trying to find the piece of a recognizable title that people would know, even though I'm sure nobody knows Rampage, although I loved the game. And they're going to make a movie out of it somehow, some way. Battleship. That happened.
Yeah, that didn't do very well, did it? Although, isn't there like a second one coming?
I'm sure there are. Why not?
They paid
Galaga.
For the name.
There should be a Galaga game. Maybe Dig Dug.
Speaking of which, I did see Ready Player One.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
I did. We don't have a lot of time, but I want to hear a little bit of what you thought about it. I loved that movie.
I didn't expect, I went in with zero expectations. But I loved it.
Did you read the book?
I didn't read the book.
The book was great. I don't read a lot of books. My girlfriend bought it for me because she wants me to read more, and she chose wisely because it's something I could actually like get into because it had to do with a whole this futuristic VR world where the world's gone to shit, but people live inside the internet where they can become an avatar, they can play, they can surf on a pyramid, they can do whatever they want to do within this game. But the thing is, like, if you die in the game, you lose all of your stuff, so you have to be careful. And the plot revolves around the creator of the game who dies and makes this Easter egg where if you follow his clues, you can get keys which lead to the egg, which means you can control all of this thing called the Oasis.
Yeah.
Basically become a trillionaire.
It's like Second Life.
It's like Second Life. Vague Office references. I thought it was fantastic. The thing in the middle with The Shining, that scene they played, it wasn't in the book, but what they did was fantastic. I loved it.
Well, speaking of which, I actually learned that. So in the book, it wasn't The Shining. It was
War Games.
War Game. Was it War Games?
Yes.
No, it was. And I'm only saying this, and I didn't read the book only because this is what I had learned. Wasn't it Blade Runner?
No.
Oh, I was told it was Blade Runner.
I'm pretty positive it was working.
You didn't read the book, did you?
I did read the book. One of the tasks where they had to do like a word for word repetition of War Games. They had to be Matthew Broderick's character.
Would you like to play a game?
And if they messed up, they got booted out and they had to do it again.
Oh, well, I originally read. Well, maybe it wasn't.
There might have been also. I'm recalling there may have been a Blade Runner also, but the main one was the War Games.
Okay, but with Blade Runner, they couldn't get the rights, and that's why because the Blade Runner 20 blah, 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 was. Filming at the same time, and so they had they ended up using The Shining as an homage,
blessing in disguise.
Yeah, so it was an homage by Steven Spielberg to his pally.
Stanley Kubrick.
That's how you pronounce it.
I the lead guy, I forgot his name.
Not the guy from Baby Driver.
Not Ansel Elgort or Elgort.
Ansel Elgort.
Elgort. Elgort. He was okay. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really about him. It was kind of about the advancement of CGI and all their avatars who they created within the Oasis. The best part about it was Mark Rylance, hands down, who was the creator of the Oasis. Yeah. The way he portrayed that character was just spot on. Yeah. It was fantastic. As a guy who just is a recluse, has no idea how to communicate with people, but within this world, he expresses himself. Mm-hmm. And people found solace in that.
Yeah. Don't forget Simon Pegg doing an American accent.
Never good. Just make him British. Why does he have to be American? Just make him British.
It very much reminded me, by the way, of the plot from Black Mirror.
Which one in particular?
The USS... Did you see Black Mirror?
I did. I'm trying to remember
the
new season,
the first episode, the one about the spaceship.
Star Trek thing. The Callister.
Yeah, USS Callister. Because I mean, essentially, it's like they're two guys. Yeah. They run a VR company, and it's sucking people in. And,
although that one was very dark.
Yes, and I also, speaking of which, segue. I'm hearing that show, that series might spin off. We might get a Callister series.
Oh wow. That'd be interesting.
Like an ongoing series.
As long as they still make more Black Mirrors, that's all I
Yeah, oh, they're going
okay.
to.
All right, good.
I have that theme song stuck in my head, or maybe I'm just having an aneurysm. Who knows?
Maybe. I don't
Both.
Know. Yeah.
Before we get out of here, we're a couple weeks away from sort of the beginning of summer movies.
Yep.
I don't want to jump into summer movies because Jenna's not here.
No, we'll wait.
We'll wait for that.
We'll wait.
But just to, I guess, scratch the surface, are there any summer movies, summer blockbusters you're looking forward to?
I mean, I definitely want to see Deadpool 2, which is coming out like 2 weeks after Avengers, smartly so. You don't want to be coming out the same time as that. I'm psyched. I don't know why it took them like 13 years to do this, but Incredibles 2, the Pixar.
I didn't see the original.
Oh my, what is happening? Why am I doing this with you?
It's a Pixar movie.
Oh my God.
Because usually there's a third person buffer here where Jenna would have seen it. I wouldn't have. I'd shut up.
Jenna,
you guys
come back.
Converse for a little while.
Fine. Jurassic World, I'm not looking forward to that much.
Also, I have a question. So, I mean, the original, I feel like this is going down the exact same path as the original Jurassic Park. Like, all right, the whole place is destroyed now. Now what's going to happen? We're going to bring the dinosaur. We're going to go back to the island and save the dinosaur. It's the same plot.
It's horrible.
Lost World.
I don't get it. Might as well put it in space. The next one is going to be in space. Just wait. It will be in space. I promise you, it will.
But I guess at this point is, I think the thing that's frustrating is Jurassic World was sort of a fresh take on it, right? Because at the end of the day, you never got to see the park successful, and you kind of wanted to.
Yeah, but they didn't really show you much of the park. I would have liked to have seen a little more.
Well, that would require
instead of the sexist banter between Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah,
well, so we'll see if we get more of that in the sequel.
I think we will.
Yeah, but for next week, watch what I tell you to watch.
What am I watching again?
Avengers,
The
Incredibles.
Well, yep.
And Rampage.
Oh, well,
you don't have to watch Rampage.
Okay,
I'll let you off the hook for that one.
All right. Back next week. I think Jenna will be back, and then we'll talk some Avengers and all the other stuff you just told me we'll watch.
Fun.
This Week in Pop. Don't forget to follow us on all the social medias. This Week in Pop on the Facebooks and the YouTubes and the Twitters and all that stuff. Also, I mentioned it on a little 30-second clip when we were off next week. Rate us on iTunes. Rate us on Google Play. Rate us on all the platforms. We'll have some cool
stuff. Five-star men right here.
We want to be five-star men. And a woman, she's not here. She is a five-star woman. I'll give it to her. We'll have something coming up in the near future as to what we're going to give away in lieu of people who are rating
prizes.
Us. Prizes. Giveaways. It's coming out of my own pocket.
Meet and greets.
You're going to get my mortgage money.
Hey.
Yeah. So back next week with more This Week in Pop. Bye.